The Penn State Wrestling Show back with you with some big news for Penn State Nittany Lion wrestling fans, a shakeup in the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, and of course, more things to look forward to in the future with Last Chance Qualifiers this weekend. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. Greg Pickle's going to tell you about all of that stuff on today's show. Greg, how you doing? And let's get into some of the news of today.
Yeah, T. Frank, good to be back with you. Good to be chatting again with everyone. We appreciate everyone that listens to the show, which is becoming more of a weekly thing than I think we probably would have thought in the offseason. But
for
here
sure.
We are.
Yeah.
certainly a show-worthy week. You mentioned the Last Chance Qualifier. We'll get to that. But clearly the big news of the week, of the month to some degree, even though we have a long way to go here in the rest of the month of May. And let's not forget, it started with Carter Starace announcing his return. So certainly plenty of topics to pick from. But, you know, the big news is David Taylor leaving the state college area. Competed at the U.S. Olympic Trials a couple weekends ago. Lost to Aaron Brooks, which obviously took away a chance for him to make this year's Olympic team. So, a couple weeks go by, Oklahoma State, everyone thought that they had their replacement for the legendary John Smith lined up, and they didn't. According to multiple reports, you know, they kind of came in late and made a move on David Taylor to try and get him to become the Cowboys' next head coach. And sure enough, as of Tuesday morning, that is what he is. So, T. Frank, it was certainly something I don't think many fans saw coming or expected. It happened very quickly, and it shakes a lot of things up in the Penn State wrestling world and the college wrestling world. David Taylor is a legend, and when you talk about name recognition in recruiting, you don't get any better than Kale Sanderson, but David Taylor is a very close second. So it's going to shake a lot up. We'll get into that. But certainly, Penn State fans, I think, are excited for David for the most part and looking forward to seeing what he can do with an Oklahoma State program that obviously has, you know, if you don't know the history, it's storied. They have won a lot over the years. They have not done so as much recently. And I think they were looking for kind of some fresh ideas and a new vision and something outside of the Oklahoma State wrestling family and community. And they certainly did that with David Taylor. So big shakeup here. Obviously, David's been in state college for years between his time with the Nittany Lion, you know, obviously a two-time NCAA champion, Hodge Trophy winner, Penn State graduate, opened up the M2 Training Center and was very much a part of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. So he's been in state college for years, and as we get ready for the 24-25 season, that's no longer going to be the case.
How does that impact Penn State, I guess, in a long-term view? Do you feel like he can build a contender? And how much of a lead does Kale Sanderson have with, you know, what they've built over the last decade?
Yeah, it's an enormous one, but do I think David Taylor can build a program similar to some of the, you know, I'm not really, really, really ready, well, it's easy for me to say that anyone is going to be able to ever establish a dynasty like the one Kale Sanderson had, but can David Taylor build a program that competes annually with the best college wrestling teams in the country and can win national championships and can crown individual national champs? I mean, based on his competing track record, you would think that the case. He's never coached in college before, that should be noted. 33 years old, first college coaching job. I don't think in wrestling that matters as much. Like, you know, it would be almost not insane, but you know, you wouldn't hire a first-time former athlete, I don't think, to coach Penn State basketball, Penn State football, really any major school sport. But in the world of wrestling, it's a little bit different. Things are a little bit more connected to, you know, he can learn how to do this coaching thing on the fly. He knows how to coach. He's been training youth athletes for years now, obviously mentoring guys as well at the college level with his work at the NLWC. So I don't think that is a huge deal, but there is the component of it takes time to build these things, and that doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. So can he do it? I would not put anything past David Taylor when it comes to competing. The guy is a proven winner. We've seen it over and over again in his own competition career. So to think he can't build and sustain a college wrestling powerhouse would be silly. But it is going to take time. And I think Penn State you know, Penn State was probably fortunate to some degree that this news all took place and his hiring took place after the transfer portal closed. So Penn State, as we talked about on last week's show, did lose Terrell Barakal to the transfer portal. As we talk about this in the middle of the week of May 6th, he did not pick a new home yet. So if he did, we'll have that at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com whenever that happens. But I think Penn State was probably fortunate in that regard because they may have lost somebody or somebodies to following David Taylor to Oklahoma State from the roster or from the class of 2024. That does not, you know, with the portal being closed, I would not expect that to be the case now. Could it be down the road? We'll see. But, you know, I think that's the big question everyone has at this. Will Penn State lose anyone to Oklahoma State, be it assistant coaches, be it NLWC members who would go out and join David Taylor's staff, be it wrestlers or recruits at some point in the future. And so far, it's been so good. But this is all relatively new. And I know that I think that's probably that been the tough part of trying to set the expectation for what could happen this week is that this literally has all taken place, I don't want to say in the last 96 hours, but pretty close to that. And so, you know, there's a lot of moving parts still. David has to figure out what he's going to do with the M2 training facility. I'm assuming, you know, one of the people who already worked there, Mark McKnight or somebody, will take that over and continue to have that thrive and serve as a place that, you know, Penn State finds wrestlers out of. So, you know, I don't expect that to change. But, yeah, certainly it's going to change more long term, I think, just in terms of David Taylor, like I said before, you know, there's a group of kids that grew up like David Taylor did, idolizing Cale Sanderson. There's a group of kids growing up that idolized David Taylor and everything he did, not just in college, but on the Olympics scene. And so that's going to carry obvious weight in the recruiting world. So, you know, he will be able to get some guys that maybe I think in past cycles, and we're talking probably more 2025, 2026 classes at this point, but I think he will get some guys that in past cycles, in past years, you would have said, that is a Penn State commit. It's made, you know, just wait, it's going to happen eventually. And now those guys are going to, I think, you know, some will end up at Oklahoma State, and some are going to think long and hard about doing so before picking Penn State. So, obviously, a lot of moving parts there, but ultimately, I think it's good for David. I think it's fine for Penn State, and I think it's great for the sport of college wrestling.
So it's super interesting to look at the domino effect of what happened at the Olympic qualifiers, where David Taylor, you know, in a pretty close bout, I would say, you know, it's tough to say because, you know, you look at the result and Aaron Brooks was clearly, it felt like when you were there and you saw him, he was clearly the physically dominant player or wrestler. And yet, David Taylor had an opportunity at the end there to maybe tie things up, and just how that narrow loss led to what we have now, where if he's going on to the Olympics, this isn't happening. So I guess the question is just kind of to sum up what you have said is, before there was Penn State and then there was everybody else. Now there is a Penn State alternative in the wrestling world that will compete and will train and will develop wrestlers in a similar way. Is that a fair way to express how now there's a Cale Sanderson coaching tree? There's now another alternative doing it the way they do.
Yep, that's right. Yep, 100%. David Taylor will obviously put his own touch on things, and whoever is on his coaching staff will be able to put their own touch on things, because I doubt that all of his staff will come from the Cale Sanderson tree. I'm sure some of it will, all of it will be touched by it in some way, but maybe not completely. So, yeah, I think the big question to me is just, how quickly can David Taylor get things going at Oklahoma State? They have talent. I think that's one thing that, you know, while everyone's been talking about this, there's been some, you know, and a lot of fair talk that, you know, Oklahoma State's kind of fallen completely off the map. And I don't know if that's true. They've fallen down the team standings to some degree based on where they used to be. But they have talent there. The portal is still open with really talented guys. It won't shock anyone if some of the best remaining portal talent now makes Oklahoma State not only a top choice, but also their pick. So we'll just see how quickly he can get things going. But yeah, that's a fair way to put it. There is now another school that is going to do things in a Cale Sanderson-like way at the very least. And, you know, how closely David Taylor's style mirrors Cale Sanderson's probably going to be pretty close. So yes, that's a good way of putting it. And like I said, it will have an impact on Penn State, but You know, I guess I'll just close with this. There's been some of the overtures on social media, and kind of the tone of discussion has been like this is the beginning of the end of the Cale Sanderson Penn State dynasty. And I just think that's a little bit premature, a little bit of crazy talk. This is still a, you know, program that is leaps and bounds above the field. And, you know, we'll see how things go from here and how quickly, you know, and if Oklahoma State with David Taylor in charge can catch Penn State.
It could be the end of Penn State's outright dominance, maybe, to the point that it's kind of embarrassing for the rest of the sport. Is that it's the way that, you know, casually following it from a distance has been like, it is obvious Penn State is the best team every single year, and there isn't really a challenger. If there's a challenger, it might be good for the sport. Just quickly, because we didn't talk about this, it happened right after our last show, but Carter Cerracci returning for another year at Penn State. How does that, just your thoughts on him returning and some of the things we talked about with the upper weights and solidifying some of that stuff?
Yeah, so Carter coming back, you know, certainly is stoking the flames on social media with the idea that Penn State could wrestle at Beaver Stadium next fall and that Oklahoma State could now be the opponent for that match. You know, I think we're really, really early in those conversations. And if they're going to do that, there's a lot of legwork left to be done. But interesting to think about. But yeah, you know, Carter Cerracci comes back for a chance to be the first and likely only ever five-time NCAA champion. So what weight he does it at is going to be the big question mark now. Does he move up to 197 as he's hinted at? Could 184 be another option if he doesn't want to go all the way to 197? Could he decide he still wants to cut and stay at 174 so he could win all five championships potentially at the same weight class? I think that's the least likely of those three scenarios, but I wouldn't rule it out either. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, the thing they have to do now, and they're certainly further along in this process than we are sitting here talking about it, but yeah, they have to lock in what weight he's going to be at, and then they will fill in the pieces from there. So that's the first stepping stone, so to speak, and I'm sure they're hard at work to lock that in. And then, you know, we still have the news of Greg Kirkfleet hanging out there. You know, as we talk about this in the middle of the week of May 6th, he has not made his announcement yet.
It's going to be right after we put the show out.
Yeah, that's there's no exactly question. What's happening. Yeah, that's how this works. Yes, that's how this typically works. Yes, but if that news is out, we'll have it at blueoilillustrated.com. But yeah, so we're waiting on him and to finalize that part of the lineup as well. So I think Penn State, like we've talked about, I think Penn State will be in A-OK shape no matter how this all shakes out. But certainly, anytime you can get more defending national champions back, you're going to do that.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Beaver Stadium thing? You said very early stages. What's the likelihood of that being a thing? And, you know, I think the million dollar question is like, would it be successful? Would you be able to get a draw that would be visually impactful as opposed to just like a lot of numbers, which makes sense?
Yeah, so the two examples that have already taken place a number of years ago were Rutgers and Iowa have both done outdoor matches. I know Rutgers was paired with a football game before it. I can't say off for certain that Iowa's was, but Penn State does have November home games. You'd almost have to do it in November, of course, so Penn State football does have November home games to pair a wrestling match and a football game on the same day. You know, logistically, obviously, you got to hope the weather is really good. You have to get a November night game in all likelihood. So there's a lot of logistical hurdles. You know, again, I think it's an interesting thought. I just think the conversation about it is just a little premature, I would think, at this point. But we'll see. Certainly, Pat Kraft has been as clear as anyone could ever be about wanting to use Beaver Stadium in ways that are not just seven home football games a year. Yeah. So they just did it with Luke Combs. Obviously, they're getting ready soon to finalize their renovation plans, and that'll start at the end of the football season. So there's some time before they start knocking things down and having events in there besides football a challenge in the off season. So we'll see. But early in that conversation, and I would not say the odds of it happening are great. I wouldn't rule them out either.
So, by the way, if you want to follow along with Greg's stuff at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, the best way to do that, because you're watching here on the show, and a lot of new viewers come to our wrestling show, which we're super excited about, or if you're listening on the podcast, you can use the promo code PSU1 to get 2 months for $1 at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com to scratch all your Penn State sports itches. Code PSU1, it's 2 months for $1. That's our special offer to you, somebody who supports us, whether it's here on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. For checking this out, we want to give you the introductory, give you an extra month for $1 to come hang out with us. Last thing on the docket today, in the windshield for Penn State Wrestling, the last chance qualifier What do we need to know about that coming up this weekend?
Yeah, so where we're at this point is the weight classes that the U.S. has not yet qualified for the Olympics head to Istanbul, Turkey this weekend to try and do so on May 10 and May 11. They're going to be wrestling at like 3 a.m. in the morning on Saturday. And I believe the matches for the finals are right around the same time on Sunday. So it's obviously going to be news you wake up to. But for the United States and for Penn State, there will be representatives. Spencer Lee is there for the 57-kilogram weight class, obviously not a Nittany Lion Wrestling Club member, but Zane Rutherford is, and a Penn State alum. He is there to try and qualify the 65-kilogram spot for the USA in the Olympics. So pretty straightforward. You have to finish in the top three to make the to qualify for the Olympics. So Zane Rutherford has to hit the top three. So we'll see if he can do that. Some pretty stiff competition. I would say, if you were making odds, and I don't like using percentages, if you guys watch the football videos and Sean Fitz never likes to use percentages, I'd really try not to either. But I mean, I think probably 70-30 that Zane Rutherford qualifies the spot. So certainly not as good as the odds were when he was in college. And you would say, what were the odds he's going to win a national championship? I think those were a little bit higher than this.
Right.
But I think he has a better than average chance to qualify the spot. But there are some really stiff, really good competition at this event that also did not qualify. So the U.S. is hardly alone in being in this position. So time will tell if they can do it. But we'll certainly have that all covered this weekend. Not at 3 a.m. probably, but as soon as you wake up, we'll have the news for you at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com this weekend.
Greg's a machine. It'll be up shortly after 3 a.m. because I don't think he can help himself sometimes.
That is correct.
For that, we appreciate you, Greg. Great show today. Make sure, again, you subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com so you get all of his work and follow him on X, at Greg Pickle. We'll be back with more next time there's breaking news, next time there's some intrigue to talk about with Penn State Wrestling on the Penn State Wrestling